Thanks very much. Can you hear me okay at the back? I'm guessing that's a yes. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here. It's my great privilege to actually get a chance to preach in lots of different places. I'm very honored and very lucky that I get to be invited to different churches, but there's something special about coming home. And Kathy and Melinda, wherever you are, somewhere out there, hello. You know, it will be special to go home as well. It really is a real privilege to be here today, and I just want to say thanks for having me here. For anybody who doesn't know me, my name is Mike Dare, and this is the sermon title today. Hopefully. So the function is not available. That's what we're talking on today. Give us a minute, it'll hopefully work up. So how are you guys doing today?
Don't come on, Chateau.
Hi. Do you want me to just move on for a little bit? And yeah. So today we're going to be talking about how you check input terminals. Very important scriptural thing. I should actually warn you, I have no idea what that even means. So. All right, in just a second, we'll hopefully get back on to... Just give me a heads up when you found the slides. But just let me open in prayer. Oh! That might be exciting. I'll let them just carry on with that. I'm just going to pray very quickly, and then we're going to see, A, if that works, and B, see what God got for us today. Father God, I just thank you so much for this place. I thank you for some time to spend and reflect upon the things that you have done in our lives. I thank you, God, that you, you have actually ordained a time and a place for us to be here. And I just pray just now that actually you would speak through my words and actually all of our hearts would be open to hearing from you. So for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Mike Dare, and this is the name of today's sermon. This sermon was actually written by my wife. She's been learning to overcome frustration with Mike Dare for 10 years now. And has become rather an expert at it. Today we are going to talk about something that actually is familiar to all of us. We are going to talk about frustration today. Not necessarily frustration with me. Frustration is actually a killer. Frustration is actually something which we can't see, which actually just builds up inside, and it's a killer. It's a silent killer. Frustration, in my experience, and as unfortunately a lot of experience, now most relational breakdown, most destruction of lives is actually based in frustration. Something which we can't see and is extremely dangerous. So to aid our understanding of what frustration could look like, I'm going to, hopefully, in just a second, we're going to see a seminal piece of theological masterpiece. In just a minute, we'll get a small YouTube bit from Shrek the Third, that seminal theological masterpiece, which will hopefully show us what frustration looks like.
Whoa, donkey!
As long as you're not doing anything, how about one of those famous Shrek roars?
Hear the roar.
Let me set you straight, Butterpants. An ogre only roars when he's angry. You don't want to see me angry, do you?
Do it.
Hold it together, just hold it together.
Hey, he's getting away, do something.
Oh, good. What happened to the cake?
Trust me, it's an improvement.
You licked it.
No.
Just because you're an ogre doesn't mean you have to eat like one.
Looks like you forgot the candle.
Stop! Okay, just watch the cake. I'll go get some.
Watch the cake?
Oh, where's the cake?
It's a cake, y'all.
What?
No, don't cry.
Hey, I believe you promised my son a roar.
Do the roar.
Roar.
I don't like it.
Pegs, we need another cake.
But it's other cakes.
Come on, man, one roar.
Hey, everybody, Shrek's gonna do his famous ogre roar.
Not now, Donkey. Pegs, are there any cupcakes?
We ate some too. They have lollipops.
No, I ate some.
But you didn't share. But you didn't share with the croissants.
Yeah. Everything's gonna be okay.
What's going on?
Come on, Shrek, get your pants away.
Do the roar.
We need a cake.
Should we just give up on the rest of the summer and watch the rest of that? Who said yes? Who said yes? So that's what frustration looks like. We turn green, we get pointy out ears, and we shout really loud. The truth is, all of us know what frustration looks like. We know what frustration feels like at different points. We can see frustration, evidently, in Shrek there. But my question is, can we see frustration in people in the Bible? Can we see it in Scripture? Well, the answer is yes. Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians when he was in jail. That would have been frustrating. Moses led the children of Israel around a desert for 40 years. Let's be honest, that's going to be a little bit annoying after maybe the first 20 minutes. and also King David was actually anointed to be the next king. And then he was exiled. He had to live in caves. So there's all sorts of frustration we could see in different people. But the scripture I want us to see today is, there. Well, now we're ahead of the game. There we go. I like technology now. And this is in Romans 8, and it shows us the full scope of what frustration can really look like. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Even creation itself, the whole world, not even just the whole world, the whole universe, is subjected to frustration. Frustration is that large an issue. Now, we've seen people in the Bible who basically scream out with frustration, but actually frustration can have all sorts of different causes and purposes. So some people can be frustrated by families, can be frustrated by work situations. Maybe it just feels like things never change. And things are just really inefficient. I was about to say that my frustration was when my football team doesn't do so well, but actually, my frustration is definitely technology, let's be honest, because I'm not even sure if I need an illustration, because technology has not been our friend today, but actually, we got a new mobile phone recently, and that should be a joyous experience for all of us. But for me, my mobile phone now has no common sense to its predictive text whatsoever. So I think I've sent a normal text to somebody, and it texts me back asking, is English actually your first language? Are you sure? And I'm like, what have I sent this time? So I tried texting my wife saying, I'll defrost the chicken so that we can have some curry. I'll just take it out of the freezer. That's what I thought I'd sent. Seems like a perfectly normal, reasonable text to send. But in actuality, what I'd sent was, yeah, I'm just going to take the children out of the freezer. We'll defrost them so we can have some curry. Now, what I found quite interesting was she said, that's nice, dear. Just make sure you defrost them well. We don't want them to be too chewy. Now, we don't actually have children, so I have no idea who she thinks that we had stuck in the freezer. But the point is, frustration can have many causes. Today, we're actually going to look at one very specific type of frustration. And it's a type of frustration that actually comes when our spiritual authority is hindered. When our spiritual authority is actually frustrated. When we have spiritual authority and it is actually opposed, it's rebelled against, and it's just frustrated. That is a certain type of frustration that we're actually going to look at today. If you are interested in the sermon on how to overcome frustration with Mike Dare, that will be back in 4 weeks' time. There'll be a sign-up sheet at the back, which I'm sure will be very popular. But so this is actually what we're going to talk about today. The frustration of frustrated spiritual authority. And that's still with Mike Dare, apparently. So the first point we want to make is actually, if we just go on to the next slide, is we are made for spiritual authority. So the first point is that the first point to understanding this type of frustration is that we are actually made for spiritual authority. We as Christians are made to have and use our God-given spiritual authority. Now, stick with me here because I want to build a foundation to understanding this problem, understanding how God, why it's important that we actually use our spiritual authority. We as Christians were actually, in the beginning when God created everything, actually his plan was always to use us to have spiritual authority. His plan was always to use us to do, he had his will and he wants to actually use us for it. If we go to Genesis, if we go to Genesis 1, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God saw all that he had made and it was very good. We were made actually to have authority, to have God's authority. But then once, without going into a massive thing about it, actually, that was the way that God initially made the creation, was actually perfect. He had what he wanted to do. He was king. He reigned. And he actually used us to actually implement what it was that he wanted. But then sin came into the world. Things started rebelling, if you will. And unfortunately, things haven't went right since. But the thing is, actually still deep within us, right from the very beginning, this deep within us, there is actually still these inner desires, these inner spiritual desires to actually have and use authority. Because actually God has actually put these things inside us. It was his mandate upon us, was actually that we should have authority. God gave authority to Jesus to complete his will. It says that in Hebrews. And then Jesus sent his disciples out with his authority. If we have surrendered our hearts to God, now I mean really surrendered. So if we have a plan in our head of what we want to have for our lives, we surrender that and we say, God, what is your plan for my life? If we have surrendered our hearts to God and say, God, you be the Lord over my life. You reign over my life. That's what it is, the kingdom of God, the kingship of God. You be king over my life. If we have done that, we actually as Christians have authority. We have the right to hear his voice. He'll put thoughts into our heads of what it is that he wants to speak to us about. And actually, we have authority. We as Christians have authority. There's something deep inside us that isn't fulfilled, that's frustrated, if we're not actually using this frustration, if we're not using this authority, if our authority is actually being hindered in some way, something deep within us that is actually frustrated. Now, just before I move on to the next point, I just want to clarify one thing. The word authority in many ways brings up all sorts of images in our minds. For me, I think of my headmaster in high school and stuff like that. You know, I'm not talking about the type of authority where we're getting other people to do what we want because we want to be big and powerful. I'm talking about godly authority. Talking about the kind of authority that God speaks about in Scripture, that Jesus speaks about. The people of Jesus' time said he was a man with authority. But look at what it says in Matthew 20 about how to use authority, not like the world does. He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. So we're talking about us having the kind of authority that Jesus talks about. Jesus also commends the Roman centurion. And if you look at it, he commends the Roman centurion for his faith. But actually his faith was based on his understanding of authority. The Roman centurion said, I am a man under authority. And I have authority. I am a man with authority. And speaks, this servant come and he comes. This servant go and he goes. So his understanding was actually his authority is based on obedience to his, bless you, his authority is based on his obedience to his own leaders. So actually when I talk about this authority, I talk about two things. One is this godly, humble servant authority, and I also talk about exercise spiritual authority, we have to be obedient to God and to the leaders that God has actually put around us. We have to be obedient to his God-ordained authority. So let me go on to the next point. God has made us for authority. So we experience frustration when our spiritual authority is frustrated. So the problem is, so many of us actually, some of us do know that we as Christians are meant to have authority, but we're still living lives completely frustrated. We're still living lives with our enthusiasm just killed. We just get angry at the drop of the hat because this frustration just builds up. Why is that? Why is that? The problem is, so many of us are continuing with this, and it's actually making us worn out. So it's because our God-given authority is being either hindered or obstructed, or in some cases actually opposed. Actually, the world, as I say, the world had sin come into it as part of rebellion. And from there, our God-given authority, which has been given by God, is actually opposed. Now, I was trying to think of how you explain this and how you sort of paint a picture for how this actually looks in real life. And so I thought that the best idea was a very deeply spiritual illustration. And actually, to illustrate this, I am lucky enough in my life that I have a soulmate. I know. Good for me, right? A soulmate. Yeah, I met my soulmate in 2013, which I know is a little bit later in life, but at least I met my soulmate. That was the most important thing. And the thing about my soulmate is me and them have everything in common. We both love football. We both love to eat. We're both obviously very good looking. Why is it that was the funniest jokes? Yeah, we have everything in common, me and my soulmate. Do you want to see a picture of my soulmate? Yeah? That is my soulmate.
I thought that was you, mate.
I know. So difficult to tell us apart at times. It's rather embarrassing to it's rather embarrassing sometimes to share so many traits with a dog, but it's a shoe fit. this is Finley. So this is my soulmate, Finley. And Finley is my father-in-law's dog, so I guess that makes him my dog-in-law, something like that. There we go. Can you hear me? Hey. So, this is my soulmate. And to illustrate our spiritual authority being, this is fun. This is new. To illustrate our spiritual authority being opposed or our spiritual authority being frustrated, then me and this dog. Well, actually, not just me and the dog went for a day trip to the beach. No, me, the dog, and the family went for a day trip to the beach. And normally, this dog is a very obedient dog. Very kind-hearted, lovely thing, plays football and everything, just like me, as I said. But this day, the dog would not do anything that we asked him. So normally we'd boot the ball for him, he'd run after it, get it, bring it back. This time, boot the ball, goes towards the sea, dog just looks at it and goes, I'm walking this way. So the dog was just, he was not playing ball, so to speak. The dog was, so we even, at the end of the day, we're trying to get the dog into the boot, booted the car so we can look out and she's not on the seats, everything. And we said, oh, come on up here. So he jumps up into the boot. He waits for like half a second and then sees his opportunity, jumps back out of the boot and basically tries running back towards the beach. He was just not doing anything that we were asking the dog to do, which, as I say, is very out of character for this dog. But I started to notice that actually, and not very shockingly, my mum-in-law started to get very, very frustrated with this dog. But also, by the end of it, my mum-in-law didn't actually seem to like the dog that much. If you will, she had actually built up a bit of a resentment against the dog based on the fact that actually she was just frustrated. This dog was not playing ball, not doing anything that we see. And God started to speak to me through this situation. So actually, if we go on to the next slide. Oh, go on one more. God started to speak to me through this situation and actually showed that actually hindrance, or if you will, when our spiritual authority, when something is not obeying when it's meant to, then actually it causes frustration in us. But whatever it is that we're frustrated at, eventually we end up taking a resentment against that thing. Whether that be a situation, whether that be a person, whether that be a dog, whatever it is, we actually take a resentment against that. And if you know your scriptures, then you always see that where we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, we develop a barrier between us and God. And that's actually why frustration is so dangerous. Now, if we go to the slide before, if we go back to what it says in Genesis, we are made for authority. So it says here, God blessed them and said to them, rule over all of the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the dogs on the swings and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay, maybe Genesis doesn't say that, and I don't in any way say that you should actually change the Bible, but you see the point that actually this dog would not actually do what it was we were asking, and we ended up getting frustrated with him, holding a resentment in our hearts. Now, I do believe, hopefully, we've dealt with the resentment to that dog. Either that or maybe the dog will be found in the skip over the next couple of days. But you can see the point is actually this resentment that we pick up is actually a barrier between us and God. And that's why this frustration is based around when our authority itself is frustrated, we end up taking a resentment against whatever it is that has frustrated ourselves. So, give me 2 seconds. But the thing is, why does this matter so much? Why is that so important? So if we get frustrated, what's the problem with that? So maybe to stop ourselves being frustrated, we just don't exercise our spiritual authority. Is that so bad? Is that all right? Let me go on to our final point here. Let me get to the nub of this point. It's back to Romans 8. Now you can make, there's all sorts of theological stuff in Romans 8, and you can find the things that I'm about to talk about, you can find in different scriptures as well. But this I felt was what God had highlighted to me certain things. Let me read it out again. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration. This world is hurting. I think we don't need to think for any amount of time to realize this world is hurting. There's stuff which is going on, our present sufferings. Now there is glory to come. We will eventually come to be with Jesus again face to face. But this world right now, we are definitely suffering. This world and its present sufferings is hard. It's been a hard month. Too many people have left their homes and not returned. Too many people this week have returned to their homes and never left again. There have been things which are happening due to the frustration of our creation, of the creation, which are horrible. When we think about the stuff which has happened, it's horrible. When I even think about, for any amount of times, the stuff which happened in the last month, that's why we need to learn to exercise our spiritual authority. I'm not saying, please don't mishear me, I'm not saying that these things have happened because we haven't been praying. I'm not saying these things have happened for purposes for us, but this world, this creation needs us. So look at what it says there. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. That section there where it says sons of God, it's not a gender thing. It's not like only sons and only daughters. But it actually talks about two things specifically. One is identity, for us to understand our identity in Christ. But the second one is maturity. So in scripture, you'll get different phrases. It will at certain points, it will say infants in Christ. It'll say children in Christ, children of God. Then it says sons. And when it says sons, it's actually talking about authority. It's actually talking about maturity. We have to mature in our spiritual authority. The world, the creation, as it says, waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. We need to, if we go back a slide a second, we need to actually deal with frustration. We need to deal with the resentments that we pick up because of frustration. We need to deal with that. We need to actually forgive in our hearts because that is causing a barrier between us and God. We cannot mature in our spiritual relationship if we have a barrier between us and God. We need to deal with that. We need to deal with that frustration, and we need to deal with that resentment. Because actually this world, if we go forwards one more, sorry, this world is eagerly waiting for us to become who it is that we're called to be. We as a church, to a certain extent, we as a church are very frustrated. Because actually, God has given us certain things, certain aspects of his kingdom that he wants to actually see in both Whiteinch, in Glasgow, and in the nation. And actually, if we don't deal with the frustrations, if we don't deal with the resentments especially, then actually we're going to live lives constantly with this sense of frustration. We're going to live lives constantly with this sense of actually a deep desire being frustrated, a deep desire, not a longing not being fulfilled. This creation needs us to actually grow in our maturity, in our spiritual authority, and our spiritual maturity. We need to deal with the resentments. From there, we need to develop that hunger again, so that we actually just surrender fully to God. We need to have that aspect where whatever it is that God says to us, we want to do it. Before we even think of what the actual consequences are, anything like that, we want to hear what he says, and we want to do it. We want to be people who actually, when we pray, we say, God, what do you want me to pray? When we do stuff, we say, God, what do you want to do? That'll be us listening to God and actually moving in his authority. This creation needs us. If we don't do this, we're going to be a frustrated church. We're going to be a frustrated group of people. Let me end on this one last testimony of what happens if we do actually, if we do listen to God. And as I say, to move in authority, we have to listen to God, and we have to actually ask him what it is he wants, and then we move in his authority. That removes this frustration. We're no longer frustrated because these deep desires in us to actually have to be obedient to God and to actually move in his authority are actually satisfied when we're obedient to God in that way. So recently, me and a few friends of ours, and Alan, our pastor, we had the great privilege of being invited into a hospital. There was somebody who was in a very critical way. I don't know all of the details of the medical condition, but the person was in a coma. And when we went over there, some of us, we were in a prayer meeting at the time. We heard that we'd been invited to come over to pray. And so we spent some time between us saying, God, what do you want to do? What are you saying? What is on your heart right now? And between us, we felt that God had actually put the thought into our heads of, there's somebody in scripture called Tabitha. Now, me admittedly, I was looking through all of the gospels to try and find this person called Tabitha. She's in the book of Acts, so it took me a very long time to find her. But we got the sense that actually what God was saying was, if you look at this section of scripture, there's a part where there's all sorts of mourning going around this person. This person was actually I think this person actually was dead in scripture. But there was all sorts of mourning and all sorts of dark, negative spiritual forces around, if you will. Just this sense of foreboding. And what we felt God was saying was, actually, we need to go in there and pray and clear out the mourners from the room. So I'm not talking about physical people in this situation, but to change the atmosphere, to bring God's life into that place. We went into the hospital, which is a strange experience for some of us, as we hadn't went into hospitals very often or to pray for people in comas. We went in, spoke to different people. One of our numbers actually had a shirt on them which said, always look on the bright side of life, which I personally thought was like a prophetic statement, a very hope-filled, faith-filled statement. But we went into the hospital. In turns, we prayed for the person and just laid our hands on the person. And we just waft away any negativity and just ask God, bring in your life. Bring in light. Bring in your presence. Very glad to say that a few days later, that person woke from that coma, and actually they're now walking around today. That's what happens when we move in God's spiritual authority. When we actually listen to God, when we actually hear what is on his heart, we say, God, what do you want to do? And we pray with that authority. Can we get an amen for that? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Let me just end in praying, and then we'll see if God wants to say anything. And just at the end, I think Shona will lead us at the very end as well. But Father God, I just pray for all of us that actually if we are struggling with frustrations, if we are struggling with things which just irritate us, if there are practical things that cause us frustration, I ask Holy Spirit that you would speak to us and teach us ways to actually deal with these frustrations. But I ask God that the areas where actually our spiritual authority is frustrated, we are hindered in our spiritual authority, I ask God that you would help us to remove these discouragements, remove these areas of chaos where actually the things that we see in this world are not the way you want it to be. I ask God that actually you would help us to grow in spiritual authority. I ask God that you would speak to us and actually, yeah, we would be able to, you would help us to deal with any resentments that we have picked up from this frustration. I ask now, God, that you would actually release upon us a new level, a new wave of your authority amongst this room, amongst the people that we know, amongst your children in this place and in Glasgow. God, we just pray for this creation that is frustrated. We pray for this creation which is just hurting. Pray for the families who are hurting, the people who have lost people, and just the fear that now surrounds these areas. God, I pray that you would help us to hear what is on your heart, what you want. We would hear your voice, and we would pray with your authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.